You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
Now we have our fourth speaker, Justine Nanyunyu, who is the head of the Real Sector Division at the Research Department of the Bank of Uganda. And Justine will enlighten us about how public policies in Uganda, in her country, have enabled the development of agricultural cooperatives since 2005. Justine, please.
Thank you. I'll be presenting a paper on enabling agricultural cooperatives through public policy and the state, the case of Uganda. And the presentation is structured as follows. There will be an introduction, background to the development of agricultural cooperatives, the role of government and the state in enabling of cooperatives. I'll talk about challenges faced by the government and then conclude and make some recommendations. Now, cooperatives offer enormous potential for delivering growth by providing opportunities and empowering the vulnerable to participate in development. And indeed, a sizable Ugandan population derives its livelihood through cooperative-based activities. Over the last decade, the Ugandan government has been reviving the cooperative sector, whose collapse started in 1971 when Idi Amin, who was the president at that time, declared economic war and expelled Asians from the country. Now, the government has been trying to find ways of creating an enabling environment for cooperatives to develop, and it has strengthened surviving cooperatives and promoted the establishment of new marketing and financial cooperatives to reach farmers with services that contribute to improving rural livelihoods and reducing poverty. Now, the government has realized that the full potential of the cooperative enterprise in fostering development is yet to be harnessed due to internal problems related to governance and leadership, poor capitalization, and inadequate knowledge, among other problems, and that the legal and regulatory framework was inadequate to ensure proper functioning of cooperatives. The development of cooperatives is a key component of the Ministry of Agriculture, Animal Industry and Fisheries and Development Strategy and Investment Plan, whose aim is to increase agricultural production and productivity, increase access to markets and value addition, create an enabling environment for the private sector in agriculture, and strengthen agriculture institutions. The government is also implementing the Prosperity for All program, which is the national development objective, and is reviewing policies and approaches to development that need to be streamlined within cooperatives if the economy is to grow sustainably. Now, the plan for the Prosperity for All program is proposing to support the development of cooperatives, which are intended to assist the small farmers in managing their marketing better and in mobilizing savings and credit that can increase the capacity of farmers to acquire inputs of production. Now, the Uganda Cooperative Alliance is an independent umbrella organization of cooperatives and is spearheading reforms of the sector. And the reformed cooperative movement offers a complementarity of services by combining access to financial services through savings and credit cooperatives with bulk marketing services for farmer produce through area cooperative enterprises and rural producer organizations that then generate the produce. But while there's increasing participation of governments in supporting effective development of cooperatives, there's not enough literature on the topic, especially on the African economies. And the study objectives are as follows. The study analyzes the role of public policy and the state in enabling the cooperatives in Uganda, focusing on agriculture. And the overall objective is to increase understanding of how the growth of cooperatives can be enhanced. It provides some recommendations for policymakers on the way forward. And the specific objectives are, how are the cooperatives structured? What are the activities and challenges they are facing, and under what conditions are politicians and policymakers supporting the cooperatives? What types of public policies, laws, and government programs have facilitated cooperatives scaling up, and how effective are the policies, and to what extent are the support approaches bottom-up or participatory? What resources and institutional support is provided by government to cooperatives, and how effective and sustainable are they? What are the institutional challenges faced by government in fulfilling its policy commitments, and what is the recommended way forward? The study reviewed the available literature and analyzed both primary and secondary data on the topic. Now, by way of background to the development of agricultural cooperatives, the cooperative movement in Uganda started in 1913, and this was driven by the need, the urge to fight against exploitation of the private European and Asian interests that monopolized domestic and export marketing. It operated informally until 1946, when the Cooperative Societies Ordinance was enacted to legalize the operations. They expanded through the period of independence, 1962 to 1970, as the governments at that time favored them as policy instruments for rural development and provided direct government assistance and subsidized services. However, the performance of cooperatives declined during the time of Idi Amin and Obote Tweyas, that's 1971 to 1985, starting from 1972, when Idi Amin, the president at that time, declared the economic war and expelled the Asians from the country, and this led to a fall in the prices of all controlled crops like cotton and coffee, where the cooperatives operated, and the cooperatives started shifting to producing other commodities like maize and beans. And though Obote's government attempted to revive cooperatives during his regime, 1980 to 85, his efforts were hampered by excessive government involvement that virtually turned cooperatives into government parastatals. Worse still, there was a guerrilla war that destabilized further the cooperative movement's strongholds. And there was a further decline of cooperatives' performance following structure adjustment policies that started in the late 1980s by the current government, and which resulted in liberalization of agricultural markets, privatization of public institutions, and cutting of government services to many sectors. But beginning the 1990s, there's been a revival of the cooperative movement, and mainly this has been spearheaded by Uganda Cooperative Alliance in collaboration with other stakeholders. The Uganda Cooperative Alliance has focused on organizing and strengthening grassroots farm organizations to maximize membership and build their commitment. Grassroots community-based organizations, parish farmers, associations, and other small farmer groups were all organized under the rural produce organizations that act as cooperatives, where the produce supplied by members is bulked and marketed collectively. At the sub-country level, the area cooperative enterprises were created to act as smaller cooperative unions for the rural produce organizations. And the area cooperative enterprises market produce for their members and bargain for better prices, collect and disseminate market information, add value to members' produce through, for instance, processing. The area cooperative enterprises also link producers and input dealers, support agriculture extension services, and help with production planning, and so on. Now, in the new approach to cooperative activities, there's a linkage between rural produce organizations and area cooperative enterprises and savings and credit cooperatives, which is termed as triangular model. I will show in the figure. Now, the rural produce organizations, that's the producers, supply produce to the area cooperative enterprises who can market the produce to individual traders or export traders. And the rural produce organizations and area cooperative enterprises can also register as members of the union and trade directly with it. Now, SACOs, or savings and credit cooperatives, provide financial assistance to the rural produce organizations of farmers who are registered members of the SACO and to the area cooperative enterprises, and members can access loans from the SACCO using the produce that they can supply to the area cooperative enterprise as security. Now, in the previous old structure of cooperatives, it was vertical and hierarchy, with farmers at the lowest level sending their produce to the primary societies, then the primary societies would send it to the unions, who would then send it to the marketing boards for export. So this is a triangular model where the SACCOs are providing credit to the rural produce organizations and then the area cooperative and to the area cooperative enterprises. And then the rural produce organizations provide produce to the area cooperative enterprises who can then market it for them. The reformed cooperatives are meant to be managed as profitable business units competing with other private traders in agricultural output markets. And in this reformed structure, cooperative managing has been greatly expanded and enriched to include non-traditional crops and other products such as honey and fish to ensure that all year business pattern reduce the risks of crop failure and low prices during the peak production season. Now, currently, the cooperative movement is composed of 13,202 cooperative societies, and 90% are involved in agricultural marketing and production and savings and credit, and the membership is about 4 million. There are 13,064 primary societies or rural produce organizations, 129 secondary societies, of which 70 are area cooperative enterprises, 8 tertiary societies, and 1 APEX, the Uganda Cooperative Alliance Limited. And the activities of agricultural cooperatives can be categorized into 5, that is production and marketing, agro-processing and value addition, savings and credit, dairy and consumer. Now, government interventions. The government has set clear policy guidelines for cooperatives to guide the operations of the cooperatives. And the Cooperative Development Policy of 2011 outlines strategies to develop and strengthen the cooperative movement. And this is being realized through instituting the necessary legal reforms to promote good governance that will facilitate rebuilding and revitalizing the cooperative movement, and diversification of cooperative enterprises, enhancing productivity and competitiveness, cooperative training and education, promoting gender balance, fair representation of marginalized groups, and good environmental practices within cooperatives. Also improving coordination within ministries, departments and agencies, and private-public partnerships. And in implementing this policy, a public-private partnership arrangement for the implementation of it's being followed. And the policy is a result of wide consultative process involving government officials, private sector, cooperatives, academia, donor community, and mass media. I mean, so many meetings and workshops have taken place, consultative workshops have taken place before this policy was published. The consultative process has helped to identify the priority areas for cooperative development and relate it to national development policies. A national cooperative development plan has also been developed to guide implementation of this policy, and this has also been a consultative process. Monitoring and impact assessment of policy implementation shall be carried out on a regular basis and with full participation of all key stakeholders. Now, the Cooperative Societies Act and regulations of 1992 are being amended to support the implementation of national cooperative policy. In addition to that, the government is trying to support agro-processing and value addition, and this is mainly being done through an agricultural credit facility that would facilitate procuring of agro-processing, machinery, and equipment. Now, this facility is offering the cooperatives loans at a very low interest rate of about 10% compared to the average of about 25% for the banking system. There has also been support to marketing institutions through the establishment of a warehouse receipt system and commodity financing to increase access to commodity trade finance, improve stock quality, access to better markets, and maximization of returns. This system minimizes the need for crop finance, yielding bargaining power, thus leading to reduced exploitation of farmers by middlemen. And it also encourages linkage among cooperatives where the savings and credit societies provide funding for the producer and marketing cooperatives. But there is a feeling that the participation by farmers in collective marketing and utilizing the warehouse receipt system to enhance their incomes is still low. Strengthening cooperative capacities. This is being done in collaboration with private partners, and it's being carried out by the Ministry of Trade, Industry and Cooperatives, and this is focusing on leadership and management training. There has also been a move to popularize cooperatives, to revive them, and this is through extensive mobilization and sensitization and general education to raise the community's awareness about cooperatives, improving their financial literacy and banking culture, gender awareness, climate change, and health management. And as a result of this, more rural produce organizations are joining cooperatives, and communities are also being encouraged to participate in promotion activities where they exhibit what they do and share knowledge. A national cooperative development forum has been established to facilitate interaction and information sharing in the sector. However, more efforts are needed towards cooperatives' sensitization, as a large part of the community still lack knowledge about cooperative development. There has also been support to management information systems, and this is being done through the implementation and popularization of CODAS, it's a software, to support information linkages between the department and the movement. That's the Ministry of Trade, Industry and Cooperatives. Now, there was cooperatives and gender. In the execution of cooperative support work, the government and its stakeholders ensure that both women and men participate in economic activities and leadership and management of their cooperatives through, for example, training on gender. The training and sensitization has led to an increase in the number of women participating in cooperative activities and accessing services. This involvement of the youth in cooperatives, which is being promoted through youth clubs in secondary schools, and there is also a concern for the environment being incorporated into the activities of the cooperatives, and training is being done on environmental issues to ensure sustainability of the farmer cooperative livelihood from land. The government is faced by a number of challenges in fulfilling its commitment towards cooperative development, and these include human and financial resources, resistance from the cooperative movement, and inadequate skilled human resources for supervision and technical services. And this is being attributed to restructuring government departments after decentralization, which left cooperatives with few staff, especially at the local government level. And currently, commercial officers handle all the commercial services at the district level, and they are not giving enough attention to the cooperatives. But there has also been a ban on the recruitment of new staff for the Ministry of Trade, Industry and Cooperatives following its creation from the former Ministry of Tourism, Trade and Industry in July 2011. And this has denied the ministry critical staff to perform its functioning. Thus, there is a need for scaling up of human resources for supporting cooperatives at the local and central government. A conflict of interest or misunderstanding of roles by Ministry of Trade, Industry and Cooperatives, by the cooperative movement, and this has been shown by a number of examples. For instance, when I interviewed the the unions, some of them had a feeling that that the creation of area cooperative enterprises that the government intends to promote marketing is leading to marginalization of the unions that used to exist before. They still exist alongside area cooperative enterprises, and then they think that all the resources will now be focused towards developing area cooperative enterprises. To conclude and make some recommendations, the paper analyzed the role of public policy and the state in enabling agricultural cooperatives in Uganda, and it notes that the Uganda government has, since the early 2000s, facilitated the scaling up, conduct and integration of cooperatives in the development process through incorporation of cooperatives' relevance into relevant plans, strategies, and programs, consultative formulation of a cooperative development policy, amendment of cooperative laws and regulations, and promotion of area cooperative enterprises, institutional support to increase efficiency, to improve efficiency of agricultural produce marketing and returns, support to financial services cooperatives, agriculture extension services and value addition support, sensitization and promotion activities, capacity building, integration of gender and environmental concerns into cooperative development. However, there are some institutional challenges to be addressed, and these include adequate skilled human and financial resources and weak linkages between the government and the cooperative movement. Thank you for your attention.
Check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unris.org. Thank you for listening.